much for faithfully praying for us. We've really needed your prayers, covet your prayers. We are also very thankful for this opportunity this morning to share with you about our ministry in East Asia and how God is working in our lives. Well, we've been serving in East Asia, which we can share here that that means China, for many years. We've been serving with an organization called LIGHT, and LIGHT is an acronym. Liaoning is the name of the province where we live and serve, International General Health Trainers. And LIGHT is a non-profit, a non-government organization. Provide high-quality family practice training. We are mostly family physicians and one pediatrician, and we offer further clinical training for Chinese doctors. The third goal of LIGHT is the most important, and that is shining the light of Christ. And we shine his light by seeing the poor in nursing homes and orphanages and in countryside clinics. And we shine light, the idea of shining light is based on Matthew 5:16, where Jesus commands us to let our light shine before men so that they would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And we shine light through the charitable outreaches. We train Chinese doctors in family medicine. We have two tracks now in our training program. The original track was 3 years in length, and we typically would hire one or two Chinese doctors a year. Now, the Chinese medical system, our education system, is that there's a five-year medical school, and actually starts with the undergrad level. And so what that means is they get a lot of head knowledge, but they don't get much clinical experience, and so that's what we offer them in the training program. And what's been exciting for us over the years is that most of our doctors, when they come to join our program, they don't know anything about the Lord, but hopefully they're open to the gospel. And almost all of our doctors have trusted Christ as their Savior and given us opportunities to disciple them. So we have the three-year program, and now we have a one-year fellowship program. Because what we found is that over the years, it's been difficult to get our doctors' government-recognized credentials because we are not a government-approved program. We're outside the program, or the government system. And so what we're now doing is recruiting doctors who've already completed their residency training. And so they spend an additional year to a year and a half with us. And so now this fellowship we're offering is open to both believers and unbelievers. And we emphasize English in our training program because we realize that if our doctors are fluent in English, they have better job opportunities when they complete the program. Our environment is the Himage Doctor Clinic. It's an international clinic. We receive patients. We see both international patients and Chinese patients. And we are made up of several family doctors from the U.S., a pediatrician as well, and then we have several Chinese general physicians. Our charitable outreach is made up of nursing home work, orphanage work, and countryside clinics. First of all, the nursing home outreach, we have two kinds of teams that go to the nursing homes, the medical teams and the non-medical teams. The medical teams provide free medical care. On Thursday afternoons, they go to four different nursing homes. And then the non-medical teams go to these same nursing homes, but on a different day of the week because of security reasons. The non-medical teams do acts of kindness. They trim nails, they cut hair, they shave beards, but they also share the gospel. And we're very, very thankful because every year there are many of the nursing home residents who put their faith in Christ. And we really also praise the Lord for the churches that have been planted in some of these nursing homes over the years. LIGHT is also involved in orphanage work. Most of our time is spent in Shenyang Orphanage, which is in the city. The residents see the children on Monday afternoons and are supervised by a faculty doctor. The conditions in the Shenyang Orphanage have really improved over the years. We also have another orphanage called Chaoyang, and that one is a more charitable outreach because the child care there is still quite poor. It's outside of our city. And so Light sees the children, provides free medical care, but also gives the orphanage supplies, medical supplies, clothing, and also free formula. We have a neat story because recently, about a couple months ago, there were two orphans in this orphanage in Chaoyang who were dying because they were failing to thrive. They weren't eating. And so one of our friends, who's a German lady, she served in our city, reaching out to orphans for many years. And so she had returned to Germany, but last fall she returned to Shenyang, to our city. And so what she did is her suitcases were full of formula. And so she brought the formula to this orphanage, to Chaoyang, and she taught the caregivers how to mix the formula and how to feed these two dying infants. Well, 30 days later, these children fully recovered. They were doing fantastically. And this was an incredible testimony to the orphanage workers. They really saw this as a miracle. And so we'd ask that you'd pray that these workers will believe in Jesus through this amazing recovery. Light has also been involved for many years in countryside outreaches. The medical teams provide free medical care in the countryside about once a month. The faculty doctors supervise the Chinese doctors. And many of these clinics are held in local churches so that patients who otherwise would not go to church, they're introduced to believers and they hear the gospel. And it's really exciting because the doctors, as the patients are waiting to see our Chinese doctors, the volunteers in the church share the gospel. And we've seen a lot of fruit through the countryside clinics. Many have come to faith. There was a recent outreach to the countryside a couple months ago, and they saw about 100 patients at a local church. And over 30 of these people trusted Christ as their Savior, about a third of them. And what's amazing is one of those who believe was a lady who was a very strong Taoist. She was very strong in Taoism. And so after she believed in Christ, she told our team leader that she never in her life thought that she would ever become a Christian. So it's amazing what the Lord is doing through the countryside outreaches. We need a mic. Sorry about that. Karen's going to share for a few minutes. Thanks.
Okay. Well, Life was started not just to train doctors, but also to make disciples. And so discipleship has always been a high priority. The Life Chinese doctors who come to train, each has had a spiritual mentor as well as a professional mentor.
You know, the Chinese churches for many years have sent missionaries around the world, but most of these missionaries have returned to China because they weren't really adequately prepared culturally or in the language. Also, they were not really supported very well from their sending churches. So Light began a program called Shaker, and the Shaker program involves training Chinese believers, Chinese doctors, who are called to cross-cultural ministry or medical missions. The ultimate goal of the Shaker program is to assist the Chinese churches in training and sending medical missionaries. And we currently have one missionary couple who are called to serve in the Middle East, so we're really excited about that, and another couple who are planning to serve in Cambodia. A little bit about the Shaker training program. It began as a four-year program, but this was not really sustainable financially, and so we've now shifted to a one-year fellowship program to offer more medical training for those who've already finished their training. There's really two tracks or forms of the training. The first is the internet-based program, and the other one is the on-site program. Both of these tracks have access to the same spiritual curriculum. For the web-based program, there's almost no ongoing cost. We currently have about 10 doctors from around China who are involved in this. And then the on-site program requires a small amount. It's about $300 per doctor per month of funding. And then the missionary doctor in training is encouraged to raise the remaining cost of living. So they're learning about support raising. The training also in the Shaker program also includes two short-term medical mission trips per year, like Karen just shared about, in order to give the doctors a cross-cultural experience. For the curriculum, it involves learning about Bible study methods, evangelism, discipleship, cultural adaptation, systematic theology, missiology, language learning. We've had some challenges along the way, and some of those challenges include the Chinese churches not really being willing to support missionaries who are not from their own congregations. They are not used to doing what churches do in the States here, whereas several churches will partner together to support a missionary, but that's not usually done in China. Another challenge we faced is the family pressure placed on the missionary to care for their aging parents. So these families are hesitant to let their child or sibling go overseas. And then a final challenge we face is the lack of experience and knowledge of the Chinese churches on how to really support missionaries well and how to send Chinese workers. So because of that last challenge, Light, several years ago, formed a coalition of local Chinese believers and foreigners to help offer training and encouragement and advice to Chinese churches in our area in order to support missions. Light desires to assist the local churches to better cooperate with each other and to actually form mission-sending organizations that can better prepare and support Chinese missionaries. So in order to accomplish this goal, Yenza, who's pictured there at the top of the slide, who has a Muslim background, Yenza has been recently tasked with forming relationships between Light and the local churches. And again, the goal is to determine what the churches really need in order to form these effective mission-sending organizations that will better prepare and send Chinese missionaries. Furthermore, last year, my colleagues began to form their own small mission-sending organization with the goal of sending and supporting Chinese medical missionaries. Edgar is pictured there in the bottom right corner photo. So Edgar has been appointed as the head of this mission-sending organization. So during this season of Karen and I needing to be based in the United States, I have continued to serve in Light leadership through weekly cyber meetings, and I also continue to lead the Light board as the chairman. We'd like to also share with you about what our China team is doing in East Asia. One of my major roles now from the U.S. is serving as the regional director of ABWE East Asia team. And in that role, I oversee and support the ministries of 20 adults. Most of our teammates are in the capital city, and one couple is in another city, and another couple is in Hong Kong. So I just want to share with you a few minutes about what our team is doing. One teammate is actually teaching at a local government-approved seminary. He is also facilitated translating many New Testament commentaries into Chinese. And he's also developed a web-based Bible study toolbox. This is free to church lay leaders and pastors. And this is in order to equip them with resources. It's a lot like Logos that we have here in the U.S. This website that he's developed now has over 10,000 registered users. and he and his translation company has also been able to provide Sunday school materials to Chinese churches using social media. They now have over 35,000 users for the Sunday school curriculum. Another of our colleagues traveled to three different locations on the mainland to teach a Bible curriculum, and he's done this for many years. But unfortunately, he was told recently by his local national partner to not return to the mainland for at least 1 year to do any more of these trainings due to the increased level of security and the increased scrutiny of expatriate trainings done with house churches. So as we'll share a little later, the security has really increased in mainland China in this recent year. We have another teammate who's training Chinese pastors in biblical counseling. He's also translating marital counseling resources into Chinese. And he and his wife are also doing biblical counseling trainings in India twice a year. One of our teammates is serving at the International Church there in the capital city. Several years ago, he noticed that there were many African students who come to mainland China to study. But these students were not really well prepared to teach the Word of God or to disciple other people. So therefore, he decided to begin a Bible study training for these students and the other church members. And the goal here was to equip them for ministry when they return to their home country. Please pray for the International Church in the capital city. They were recently forced to leave their venue where they were meeting due to pressure that the local government was placing on the hotel where they were meeting. They have had to move to a new location, but they may not be able to continue meeting there either after the end of this month. They were also told that they could not have their annual Christmas Eve service. So please be praying for the International Church situation there. Another couple on our team has served for many years at a Chinese university, and the husband teaches English there. This couple has practiced hospitality. They've invited literally hundreds of students from the university into their home. They've had two small group Bible studies for the students who showed interest. And amazingly, these studies were held on campus, on a secular campus. This couple has been building relationships with students for years and seeing much fruit. They've recently moved to another city to replicate this student outreach in this new location. We have another teammate who's written a detailed discipleship curriculum, which is being translated into Chinese. And he and some other of our teammates have been meeting with and mentoring Chinese pastors and leaders on a regular basis. Another teammate works for a Christian publishing company that equips Chinese church leaders with resources in the capital city. He's been mobilizing many Chinese leaders for cross-cultural ministry. When he travels overseas, he'll bring a Chinese colleague with him. One couple on our team has been building relationships with Muslim students. They really desire to recruit more teammates who are focused on reaching Muslims. It's a very difficult ministry. This couple has also conducted training for both Chinese churches and U.S. churches on how to reach Muslims. This is called Heart, Mind, and Soul, and it's been developed by our organization, by ABWE. Another couple has served in Hong Kong for many years. They began Harmony Baptist Church back in 2007 in order to reach out to the many domestic workers who work in Hong Kong. Many of them are Filipino, some are from Indonesia or other Asian countries. They also started a Lost and Found Refuge, and this is to provide temporary living arrangements for those who need food and shelter. They also have a ministry to victims of sex trafficking. Please pray for the current situation in Hong Kong. As most of you know, since late May, there have been many protests and much rioting due to, it started by the controversial extradition bill, But now it's because the people of Hong Kong are very concerned about losing their freedoms. Please pray for our teammates, Chris and Mei Lin, as they continue to faithfully serve there in the midst of all this unrest. There are over 1 million people who are now in detention camps, re-education camps. Many of these are Uyghur from the largest Muslim minority group on the mainland. The official purpose of these camps is to educate the Uyghur people in the Chinese communist ideology. But really, these camps function much like prisons. The Chinese government is trying to hide the facts about the deplorable conditions there. You've heard about all the persecution in the churches. It's still going on. It's worse in recent years. The house churches under more and more pressure from the local government. There being more and more visitations by the police. Many have been forced to close. But thankfully, many have decided to divide into smaller groups and continue to meet. But some have decided just to stop meeting. Pray that they would continue meeting. Or even the government-approved church, the three self-churches, some of them have been forced to close, or their services have been greatly limited by the government. And then I just shared about the situation, the international church. So there's much to pray for China as they continue to face persecution. We'd like to update you on our lives over the past year. We returned to the U.S. in January. A couple of years ago, in our small groups, we studied the book of James. And Karen and I really felt that God was preparing us for the trials that we would experience this year through that time. In James chapter 1, you can turn there if you'd like, verses 2 through 4. I'll go ahead and read that. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, through suffering, whether that suffering is due to persecution, which many people are facing in China, or through illness, or family illness, or some other kind of hardship, God is working to mature us all in Christ. Christ is our source of life and our source of godliness. His purpose is to transform us more and more into the image of Christ. Last year, about this time, I personally was experiencing excruciating back pain, and that we found out in January that this back pain was due to a herniated disc in my lower back. And while we were in Hong Kong, so that I could see a spine specialist, we received word that our son Daniel was hospitalized with a mental illness in Chicago. So we returned to the States, and during the following months, as we have waited on the Lord for healing, we have been growing in complete dependence on the Lord and on His grace. The Lord told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul responds in this way, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, with hardships, with insults, persecution, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Well, our trust is in God has really been tested this year, but it has deepened. He has drawn us into a deeper communion with Him. And Karen and I are praying that our testimony of His steadfast love and His faithfulness may point others to Him. We're very thankful for opportunities that we've had to shine the light of Christ to Daniel's doctors in Chicago. Most of them were not believers that we know of. Daniel's Jewish psychiatrist at Northwestern University really seemed genuinely touched by our testimony of God's grace, which has enabled us to leave China to support Daniel. We praise the Lord for the compassion, the kindness, and the generosity that has been shown to us by the body of Christ over this past year. And we pray that he will be glorified. We'd like to share with you a minute about how we feel the Lord is leading us in ministry. In September, we moved from Chicago to Lancaster County in order to be closer to my family and also to our mission organization, ABWE. I continue to serve as the regional director of East Asia. That takes a good bit of my time. Karen and I also are really feeling led to serve with ABWE's International Health Ministries team. And the goal here is to mobilize medical professionals for ABWE medical ministries in places like Togo, Bangladesh, and other places around the world. We also really have a burden to mentor medical students. We have met Christian medical students at Penn State Hershey School of Medicine. And then also, Karen and I are seeking out local Chinese people with whom we can build relationships. There are many doctors from China, from India, and other countries working in our area. We also want to reach out to refugees in our area as God provides opportunities for us. At this point, we would like to share with you a video and then want to talk about the Great Commission and reaching the unreached people group. So at this time, we could we do thank you so much that you are a loving God and that you care for all people of the world. And we thank you for this mandate that you've given us, the Great Commission. We realize we cannot accomplish this on our own strength. It's impossible. But with you, all things are possible. And so I just pray, Lord, that in the remaining minutes that you would touch our hearts, Lord, for how we can reach out to not just those around us who need the Lord, but even those who are coming from other lands far, far away with the gospel. And show us how we can, if you're leading some of us to go overseas, how we can reach the unreached. We thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the continent of Asia is the largest continent in our world. It's about 30% of the world's surface area. It's the most densely populated continent. 60% of the world's population is in Asia. Spiritually, it's the most unreached place in the world. 95% of Asians do not know Christ as Savior, and 66% of unreached people groups are located in Asia. In fact, the four largest Muslim nations are in Asia. But despite this overwhelming need for the gospel in Asia, only 27% of missionaries are serving there, about a fourth. And only 25% of mission resources are invested there. I'd like to illustrate this in another way. You see a circle there on the slide. There are more people who actually live inside this circle than outside the circle. If only we could say that there are more missionaries working inside the circle than outside it. But actually the opposite is true. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10. And we see in this passage, this is the end result of the missionary task, reaching the unreached people. This is the throne room scene. And what do we see in this passage? We see in verse 9, there's a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you are slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. And notice this, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Christ died for us. Christ died for all these unreached people groups, and that is the end result of the missionary task, to reach the unreached. I want to talk a few minutes about what are unreached people groups. We want to define this. The Joshua Project defines an unreached people group as a people group with no indigenous community of Christian believers with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize the people group. Now, another way of looking at it, another definition is less than 2% evangelical Christians in the people group. In our world today, there are currently over 17,000 people groups, 17,000, and over 7,100 are unreached. That is about 42% are considered unreached. There are also what's called unreached, unengaged people groups. Now, what are these? Well, unreached, unengaged people groups are defined as ethno-linguistic groups that have no known active church planting underway at all. There's no church planting strategy in place among these people groups. Presently, there are over 1,000 Muslim unreached, unengaged people groups, and many of these are over 1 million people. Some are over 10 million people. These fields are completely empty of Christians. In Matthew 9:38, what did Jesus command us? He said that we are to pray for laborers in his harvest field. And I believe that included in this prayer are the fields that are completely empty of workers. You know, reaching the unreached people groups is a very biblical concept. The Apostle Paul had a great desire to go where Christ was not already named, to those who had never heard. Let's look at Romans chapter 15, if you'll turn there. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 17 through 21. This is what Paul says. In Christ I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. Verse 19, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. We'll come back to that. And thus, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So Paul's desire was to reach the unreached. But it's very interesting to me what he just said in verse 19. He's talking about, he gives us the impression he's finished his work. From Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, he's finished. I think there was still plenty of work to do in those areas. There were still many of churches to be planted. It's a large area, actually. Jerusalem, we know where that is. Illyricum is modern-day Bosnia, Croatia, Albania, huge areas. So what did Paul mean by this? Well, I believe that Paul's concept of the missionary task was not only winning more and more people to Christ, that was part of it, but also to reach more and more unreached people groups. And also, if you look earlier in chapter 15, at verses 9 through 12, I'm not going to read those, but in these verses, Paul refers to four different Old Testament passages where people groups are mentioned, praising God or being ruled by the Lord. He talks about Gentiles, which is really people groups. So this was very much on Paul's heart, was to reach the unreached. And let's turn in closing to Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Now, of course, we're very familiar with the with the Great Commission. South Mountain Bible Church is a very missions-minded church. We know these verses, and this is a reminder to us. We are commanded in these verses. In verses 19 and 20, we're told to go and to make disciples of all nations. Now, the Greek here is panta ta ethne. What does that mean? It means each and every nation, not just a general statement. So we should be reaching people and planting churches among all the people groups, among each and every nation in the world, including these unreached people groups, which are less responsive to the gospel. Churches, our churches in America, our mission organizations, really need to do our part in reaching unreached people groups. We must not merely focus on the most fruitful peoples outside our culture. We do need to have missionaries there, but not just on these people groups, but also we need to press on to more and more unreached areas and unreached people, even if they're less responsive to the gospel. Finally, we should also go to reached places with significant potential for reaching the unreached people. And what I mean by that is mainland China, that's the situation now. It's partially reached, but we need to have missionaries continue to serve in mainland China to come alongside the Chinese leaders and prepare them to reach the unreached, because Chinese can go into places of the world that we cannot go. But you may ask, how do we accomplish this impossible task? The video talks about this. It's really impossible. But let's look at verse 18 as we conclude. Jesus said that all authority on heaven and on earth was given to him. This task is impossible on our own strength. We can only accomplish the Great Commission through the power and authority of our Lord Jesus. So in closing, I'd like to ask you a question, and I'm asking myself this as well. What is your part in the Great Commission? How can you begin reaching people from unreached people groups? God has brought people from all over the world, from many unreached people groups here to the United States. Is there someone with whom you can begin building a relationship? That should be our desire. And then how can you use your gifts and your skills on the mission field? An example is that to serve in a mission hospital, you don't have to be a doctor. There are many support roles that are needed, that are vitally needed, such as maintenance workers, construction workers, finance workers, and guest house managers. Almost any skill can be used on the mission field. I'd like to close by just sharing with you some prayer requests for our family and give a little update on our family. We'd appreciate your prayers for our son Daniel's health situation. He's had a side effect to one of the medicines that's really affected his ability to chew food and swallow food, and so we'd appreciate your prayers about that. I'd appreciate your prayers for my back pain, which I really have to deal with every day. Also, please pray for Karen and I for wisdom in leading our colleagues in East Asia who are facing increasingly hostile environment there. And also, please pray for Karen and I to have opportunities to build relationships with Chinese people in our area. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you entrusting this great commission to your church. We thank you for entrusting the gospel to us, and we pray that we'd be faithful to take the gospel to those from all parts of the world. We may not be able to go overseas, but I pray you'd bring across our paths those from closed countries, from creative access countries, difficult places where we can't go. Bring them to us, that we would be able to befriend them and share Jesus with them. We thank you again for your goodness, and thank you that all authority is in your hands, that we just need to be faithful to go and to tell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
a little more perspective and see the maps of the tremendous amount of population of